Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. There is one fry that's being added to the list on Twitter by a few people.
Okay.
You brought it up in the break. Five Guys.
Yes.
I don't think I've had Five Guys in a while. That makes me feel like I need to go sample.
It's the Cajun fries.
Okay.
It's not the normal fry, and they are going to load you up with a sack full of them, but it's the Cajun fries.
The little bit of spice will always do it for
me. Yeah.
Speaking of Cajun fries, how do you feel about Checkers fries? I feel like that could have been an honorable mention.
Yeah.
I couldn't
tell
you the last time I went to a Checkers.
Well, but that's the thing.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Checkers has been mentioned multiple times to me, Dylan, on Twitter. Also, I don't think Five Guys or Cheeseburger Bobby should be allowed on the list.
Fast casual. You're
I mean,
not
it's
here
not
for
even
fast cash.
Well,
Cheeseburger Bobby's is fast food.
First off, it's not.
It's not.
You stand in order.
I won't go with you on that one, but
okay. I mean, you stand in order at a cafeteria too, but it's not fast food. And I would say five anywhere where I go and I drop $60 for two people, it's not fast food, and that's essentially Five Guys. Five Guys is expensive.
You're not wrong about that. It's $20 for a double cheeseburger.
I would say this, too. This may not count because it might be fast casual, but another good one could be, I actually like Steak and Shake's fries, too. I think Steak
it's fast food.
Mm. Okay, so we do count that as fast food. Okay.
That's true, yeah.
Just not the one on Paces
that's
Ferry.
That's a hybrid. Yeah,
West
a hybrid.
Paces
yeah.
Ferry because that's the slowest drive through ever, especially at like 2 a.m.
By the way,
ridiculously slow.
The Frisco melts at Steak and Shake. Oh my goodness, they're so good. I love
they leveled
Frisco
the Steak
melt.
And Shake in Sandy Springs. It is no longer a thing. So
we are all so hungry right now, is what I'm gathering.
Very much so,
because we all want to go get some French fries right now. Okay, so yesterday was all about the afterglow, the big celebration after the Falcons win over the Commanders. But now Mike and Bo both have a chance to take a second look at the film, see what was truly going on, what plays the Falcons tried, what worked, what didn't. So on Tuesdays, we do the good, bad, and the ugly. However, we have come together as a group and decided today we got to rebrand because it was not good, bad, and ugly. It was great, good, and meh.
Meh. It's okay.
Nothing ugly.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing bad.
I like this. I'm just telling you. Let's keep the vibes high.
Okay.
The vibes are still high for me.
Absolutely.
Let's keep them high after watching tape.
So let's go with the great. Mike, what's your great?
I thought I have two things written down right here. Number one, I thought Bijan's tracks, how they married up with the offensive line. It's not because of pistol or anything. Like, it just, I think that his tracks married with what Chris Lindstrom, Elijah Wilkinson, Matthew Bergeron are doing. I think they're just fitting together. They're all moving in the same direction at the same time. And when you have 6, 7, 8 bodies that are all moving in unison in one direction, it's going to be a good run more times than not. And I thought the offensive line did a good job of kind of putting it on the line out wide, communicating, and doing a lot of good things in the run game. My next one is Michael Penix's accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just nothing short of incredible to watch him. The two throws to Bijan, the one was a 3rd-and-1 pickup on an out route. The other one, the swing pass that goes for 50 yards or whatever it was up the sideline. There's a throw to Drake London. There's just throw after throw after throw that he's stepping into using good footwork after a week ago, and it was refreshing to see.
The swing pass to Bijan Robinson, which went 69 yards, I don't know if he could have handed it off better.
Yeah, I agree.
That was literally like a handoff, a stretch run play. handoff where the running back never had to break his stride coming out of his set. I thought, and then it plays out right in front of us essentially, but I'm still amazed at how just perfect that whole play was. The fact that Jeremy Reeves had to get to 22, like 0.9 miles per hour. He had 22 miles per hour to catch Bijan, who got to just under 22, is incredible. I don't know why you got caught, though, Bijan. We'll talk about that next time.
Gaslight went on. He said, ding. I'm out of gas.
I think he hit the guy. I think he hit this turbo too late. You know, it was kind of like in the office where Jim hit the nitrous with him and Dwight and the windshield wipers and it's set to go. But the throw to Mooney as well, where Penix is on the roll. He rolls out. He's flushed and he puts that ball. I do not know what's going on with Darnell Mooney, but it is starting to concern me. Through three games, he looks like a shell of the guy we saw last year.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good point with the accuracy. It's a very good call. Yeah, those were some phenomenal throws he made. And look, man, that's the way you want the quarterback who came out of his worst game ever to answer the call the next week.
How about the good? What would you rate as good for Sunday's game?
I have something very specific here, and I think it's because you and I have both been really hard on this guy, but Kyle Pitts' blocking was not great. I'm not going that far, but when we knock it back just a notch, it was good. Not only was it good, Bo, and I don't know if you noticed this watching tape, he was really excited about it. That's what was crazy to me. Like he lays a couple blocks, like one Tyler or Bijan cuts inside of him, and he kind of runs a guy towards the sideline, and then he looks at the sideline and does like a little flex, like he's like a professional wrestler, like he's like, let's go, yeah, just made a block, I feel good about it. I thought that was my good because I think that enables so many other things. Like if he can just do that at that level, not be exceptional at it, but just average. Then all of a sudden, personnel packages and things that they want to do offensively become a lot easier, a lot clearer of a picture moving forward.
Yeah, I want to dispel something. This whole matchup thing that people want to talk about with the tight end, it just doesn't exist. Oh, you got to give him the right matchup. See, that's what happens when you give him the right matchup. He's got to want it. And I don't care what anybody said. I have not seen a guy that's wanted it. He didn't want it. It didn't look like he wanted it the last couple years.
It looks, to his credit, it looks like a guy in a contract here.
Holy hell, it looks like he wants it. And to me, if I was going to do plays, probably my great was his touchdown. Yeah. Because we talked about it yesterday, and it wasn't a boot, but it is a play that where he's going to roll to that side a little bit, right?
It's like a form of an RPO, yeah. It's like a zone read with an outlet.
And he holds the end, Jacob Martin, the end, and I say holds, he holds his block on him. And it's like one count, two count, and on three, he sheds him.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it. He's physical enough in that to me, and Mike, you can talk about it probably better than me, but looks like he's physical enough the way he attacked it that when he sheds it, it's a clean shed. And then he immediately, and he held Martin and the block long enough on Martin to where he's not immediately in Penix's face.
Yeah.
And it's a tough throw for Penix because he's rolling to his right and he's left-handed. And Penix does another good job with the accuracy.
Yep.
And Pitts then makes a move to get in the end zone. And you want to talk about flexing and doing a WWE celebration? He spikes the ball.
Yeah.
And does the arms out.
He was stoked.
I mean, he looked like Andy Dufresne when he escaped from Shawshank. And he does, you know, he's in the rain and his arms go out and he looks up to the sky. I mean, that was exuberance. That felt like a guy who, what is, you know, you got the old proverbial, you know, the monkey off your back thing. Remember when Steve Young wins the NFC Championship game and ran around? Like, that felt like a shining moment for Kyle Pitts. And it was great to see. And we've both been hard on him. And I loved it. It was great to see because it was just exactly what he needs to be down in that red area. And we talked about it in pregame Sunday.
Yeah, we did.
Well, and you saw Shawshank. I saw one of the Incredibles. Like when he stretched out like that. It was just unbelievable.
I saw Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible.
All right, so we have great, we have good, because there was a lot to like on Sunday. But what about the meh?
For meh, I have gadget plays / new stuff that they tried to put in. I've been calling for Wham for a while. They tried to run it. It was an absolute debacle. I think it was like a loss of three. You had Charlie Warner lined up outside of Jake Matthews. He kind of motions in at the snap. He's supposed to just like decleat the three technique. Instead, he's the one getting decleated because the three technique sees him coming. The timing's all off. Jake Matthews is not getting any push in short yardage. Short yardage is another one of my meh. Like, it was, there was some good under center Tyler Allgeier diving for it, and there was other ones where they were overloaded and all looked disjointed. So both of those, I thought that the double reverse, whatever that was supposed to be, meh. Like, it wasn't – like, I'm here for it, and I hope they continue to practice these things, but, boy, they looked ugly on Sunday.
I got a few. Probably don't have time to get to all of them. Some of my meh is still receivers. I mean, Ray McCloud and Darnell Mooney have got to catch football. Mm-hmm. They've got, like, I mean, when you throw a little screen on the second play of the game to Ray, and he just absolutely just drops it. I mean, that's unacceptable. When Darnell Mooney gets hit like that, look, I know that's a tough catch, but that's a catch he makes. He's paid to make it. He's paid like he makes it.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to talk about special teams, and we're out of time, but we need to talk about special teams because it's been bad. It's been great. It's been bad, and it was last week it was meh. Because I thought you did a good job in bouncing back in returns, but your covering at times was bad. But I think we need to talk about the why, and because there's a lot changed with that kickoff. The rule is basically the kickoff has changed two straight years.
We'll get back into special teams a little bit later in the show. Overall, hope you Falcons and Falcons fans are still celebrating. Such a great way to go into the bye week. Coming up next, we're going to zoom out, see what's going on around the NFL. Did have a major injury during Monday Night Football. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. We're about to go in the huddle. But can I tell you guys about the most wholesome text I got last night from my sister?
Wow. From your sister?
My sister.
Okay.
She was at some event. It must have been for a Little League something. And she goes, I was at an event and Jeff Francoeur was there.
Okay.
Braves legend, Jeff Francoeur. She was like, I didn't know what to say. So I walked up to him. I go, do you know Grant McCauley?
No. Yes. Yes. What'd he say?
Yes, I've been on his podcast multiple times.
That's it.
Yes.
I love that she still went up
that's
to him.
That's so good.
Like, I don't know what to say.
That's so good.
Well, she found the words.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
At least she didn't say something like, do you know Brian McCann? Yeah, met him a couple times.
I thought it was so cute. She's like, I'm such a nerd. I never know what to say. I was like,
so
I love that. That
that's
is adorable.
So good.
I love it, too. That's awesome. You know, it's one of my best friends was probably there, too, because their kids play with the Francoeur. So maybe they play with your sister.
Maybe. It's the Jackson County area. So yeah. Whatever was going on in there. Who
that's
knows?
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's the perfect thing to say. That's an icebreaker.
It was. Well, this Friday, join us at Twin Peaks in Buckhead for a special broadcast of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. You can come have lunch with us and enjoy the scenic views as we get ready for a big weekend of college and pro football. That is this Friday from 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I feel like this Green Bay, Dallas tension, it's just not going to go away for a moment. We all know it ended up in a tie, which I think we're all disappointed in.
Oh, man.
Because Micah Parsons is going back to Dallas, faces former team. And when contract negotiations were going on between Micah, Jerry Jones, things were just tense the entire time. To add an interesting flavor on top of this, Jerry talked about Dak being indispensable and that Micah isn't.
It's very simple.
Right.
Dak was indispensable in my mind.
Right.
And so, yes. And Michael wasn't.
I don't even know. I mean, do I agree with him? I'm trying to decide in my head if I agree with him.
Can I tell you something?
Is it harder to find an elite pass rusher or a good quarterback?
Well, I don't know. Asking that question in this city is probably the wrong – this is the wrong city to ask it in because we've had an elite quarterback since we've had an elite pass rusher. Because Matt Ryan, obviously, the last one time he had an elite pass rusher was John Abraham. Now we think we might have drafted maybe one. I would tell you that I don't disagree with him, but I don't completely agree with the statement. You can't win without a franchise quarterback in this league.
I agree.
You can win without a Micah Parsons type player.
Yes.
The Chiefs are that, and I know that you can say, well, they have Chris Jones, but Chris Jones is not Micah Parsons. They're different. They play different. You know, you could say, like, who was the last year, Philadelphia was elite defensively, but they didn't have a Micah Parsons. Now they had a Jalen Carter, and their interior of their line was pretty good. So, yeah, I kind of agree with him. Now, you have to think that you think Dak is a top five quarterback because Micah Parsons is a top five defensive player in the league,
but
if
that's
not
what,
the best.
That's what my point was, though. To me, it's the difference between is it harder to find a good quarterback or an elite pass rusher?
I think it's hard but to find both.
I'm drawing a difference between good and elite, though. I don't think Dak is elite. I think he's good. I think Micah is elite.
Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with Dak at quarterback?
I think it's easier to find a good pass rusher than it is a good quarterback. But the elite thing in Micah's side is it makes things different. I don't know. I think that they could win a Super Bowl with him, yeah. I definitely do.
Yeah, so I understand it. And I think he thinks, hey, we could win a Super Bowl with Dak. I don't know if we can. Now, the problem for me is that I still would have found a way to pay. I would have paid.
Yeah, hey, option C, Jerry. Can we just have both?
But, well, dude.
Green Bay's got both.
Here's the problem. And I don't think a lot. I don't know if everybody will agree with this. But my mom was watching Sunday Night Football. She texted me and goes, hey, who's to blame? For this, they keep talking about this pass rusher and Jerry Jones. She obviously knows who Jerry Jones is because she's not been a big fan of his over the years anyways. And I was like, they're both to blame. I was like, it'd be easy for me to say Jerry, but I think they're both to blame. I think they both handled this situation extremely poorly.
Have you watched The America's Team yet on Netflix?
I have not.
You have to watch it because it skews the entire thing for me. I'm just like, this is all Jerry's fault.
Yeah, I believe that.
All Jerry's fault. Yeah. All right, the Jets lost to the Dolphins last night, 27-21. We've talked about Tyreek Hill, of course, leaving with a knee injury, but Justin Fields did talk about losing close games like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating for sure, but at the end of the day, if we look at it from a far perspective, you know, we have three games that are lost by one score, and this is kind of how this league works, you know, close games at the end. And I think tonight we shot ourselves in the foot a lot, you know, turning the ball over, penalties, and that source. But it's very frustrating, but, you know, I'm not losing faith. Nobody in the locker room is losing faith. And all we're going to do is, you know, keep our head down and work.
I've got a stat that will blow your mind. I'm going to tell you something about Justin Fields' career in the NFL. He is 0-25 when his opponent has scored 21 points or more. 0-25. He is the only winless quarterback.
That doesn't even sound possible.
Out of 46 quarterbacks in the sample over the last 5 years with at least 10 starts. And I'm going to tell you, some of these, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. And then what, last night? 11 or 12 of these have been one score games.
The most frustrating part of that is two of those were against the Falcons. That I mean, the Falcons couldn't score that many points, couldn't score 21.
Yeah.
When they played him twice.
I mean, it's
that's crazy, man.
It's a staggering stat. And I don't pin it all on Justin Fields.
No.
Because I don't think that's fair, especially when there's some of these you lost like 41-10 or 38-3. So that's not fair. But 0-12 in one score games is to break the stat down even more, to do a subdivision of the a subcategory of the stat. It's mind blowing. And somebody tweeted last night, like, you'll hate this, but somebody tweeted he said, "Hey, don't worry about what Justin Fields has been in the NFL. Remember this throw he made in the national championship game against Clemson? It's him throwing, like, I mean, 70 yards on a dime."
Yeah,
and you're like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, no, I love that. I do hear in Justin Fields' voice a little bit, and I like Justin Fields, but you can hear in his voice just a little bit. He's like, "I'm on my third team." Like, there's a little bit of that. I feel like when it was with Chicago, there was a lot of that kind of lip smack, like, "Man, I'm not getting the help I need," you know, and the situation last year. Now he's like, "All right, I'm on my third team here. New head coach. Yeah, we're just going to have to get back to business in the locker room. We still believe." You know what I mean? It's like one of those humbling moments. It's like, "Oh, man, this is not good."
He could be another guy that I've talked about Mac Jones having that, like, Baker Mayfield resurgence and Geno Smith resurgence. I think Justin Fields could find himself in a better situation. You know, one day, maybe a couple years from now, be a backup somewhere and maybe find himself. Because it just doesn't seem like it's happening right now for whatever reason. And I think some of it's been bad situations. I didn't think what happened to him in Pittsburgh was overly fair last year.
Well, coming up, Sam Pittman, Bobby Petrino. We got to get into it. Plus, we've got a mic'd up.
Well, my wife and I went to a concert last night. I'll tell you where that was if you didn't catch that earlier. And also, one of the discussions we had beforehand led to a really in-depth conversation about attending concerts. I'll let you in on that whole story when we get back, too.
That is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game at 7:41. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We've got a mic'd up coming up momentarily, but you guys just saw there was an update regarding Tyreek Hill and his injury. We have information.
Yeah, Adam Schefter tweeting out that he's going to have surgery today to repair multiple torn ligaments, including the ACL. So, yeah, the structural damage, just absolutely awful. And I'm sure that there will be even more information once they get in there with whatever, you know, tools they use to go in there and repair that ACL and whatever else is torn. But long road ahead. It's definitely not a clear cut. Like, ACLs have gotten so good with just torn ACLs that, like, you know, with a clean tear, like, guys are coming back in like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. Like, this is going to be pretty lengthy for him, and hopefully he's able to at least get back to, you know, what he was before, because he's a special athlete.
Yeah, and you got to wonder about the future of him in Miami with, you know, the future of the coaching staff, the front office. They have an out for him where they could get out with about $28 million of dead cap, and kind of they could mess with that a couple of different ways. So it's very interesting. I don't want to change the subject because I think he had a serious thing with his knee, but what did you think of the uniforms last night the Dolphins wore? They wore like their alternate, their color, the new color rush type thing. And you look at it and you're like, "Oh, they're in black. They're in black jerseys." They're not. They call that dark pitch blue.
It's black.
No.
It's black. It's black, dude. I don't know why we're trying. Like, they're doing that, counting on us talking about this today. It's black. It's freaking black. It looked black on TV last night.
It's black. It's like
dark pitch blue. My butt. It's black.
Yeah, it's dark pitch blue. I googled dark pitch blue on the internet. Yeah. And it's the same color.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, Allie, what was the third? We did great, good, and
meh.
Yeah, they're meh.
I think
I don't mind. Like, I don't hate them. There's Riley Patterson.
I feel like they need just a little pop of like a lighter color, like white in there or something, because it's just so dark.
It is dark. The I don't like the dark jerseys with dark numbers. I've never liked that. Maybe that's a booth thing, but we'll know more about that. It's hard to see those numbers when you're in the booth, but it is what it is.
Dude. Yeah.
I struggle enough with colors as it is. I don't need any added layers.
I'm not trying to pile jump on our uniforms, but do you know how hard it is to tell an 11 from a 7 and the numbers that we have? And even 0, the way the numbers are, even Divine Diablo 0 looks
weird.
I thought
you were going to bring up Washington's chrome numbers with their white jerseys.
Those were trash. Awful. Those were trash. I messed up Javon Kinlaw number and somebody else. But I've had to learn what color gloves players wear on our team. So if you ever see, 11 and 7 look, or 1 and 7 look very much alike. Yeah. So when Arnold Ebiketie's on the field, it's hard to tell sometimes from a distance Arnold Ebiketie and Jaylen Walker. But what I've learned is Arnold Ebiketie has a tell. He always wears red gloves. Jaylen Walker wears the color glove of the jersey. So last week against Carolina, when they were in all the all whites, white gloves. This week, all black uniform, black gloves. Yep.
Connecting the dots. Look at him.
Attaboy.
Look at me.
Squid Billy putting it all together.
Look at me. I'm a smart.
Yeah. Until they all pull a Drake London and get rid of the sleeves for good. And then it's just done.
Gloves.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, the tail signs, you know. I think James Pierce wore a white sleeve the other day. Just one.
Well, and Kyle Pitts had been wearing the red ones, and he didn't have one on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about Kyle Pitts is you can't miss Kyle Pitts on the field.
Yeah. He's very noticeable.
Yeah, he's the only one that looks like himself out there. And, you know, eight.
It's like me walking into this studio. Like, you're not going to get that mixed up at all.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But now, Jaylen Walker, James Pierce, Arnold Ebiketie. Now, I'll have a 7 or a 1 in there. James Pierce, so you can see with a 2. But I'm telling you, Ebiketie and Walker, because of the number, man, can we just go back to regular font, regular colors?
I mean, and Uncrustables on the plane. That's what we need.
But real quick.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Thank you. Somebody gets me.
To what you're talking about, Bo, I was actually this past weekend on Saturday, I was doing public address announcing for Clark Atlanta's football game. They have a red field and they wore red jerseys with black numbers.
Dude.
And no white trim.
That's the nightmare. That's the nightmare.
I could not tell a single Clark Atlanta player.
Did you get home and go sit in a dark, like, did you do an Aaron Rodgers darkness retreat after that? Because your eyes had been bleeding with all that color.
I had to.
You remember this conversation about the Jets color rush with whoever the red team was they were playing? I turned it off.
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Jets and Buffalo color rush. I turned it off. I couldn't tell anything. I was like, dude, I don't even know who's playing.
Oof.
This is crazy.
It's like the all-star uniforms last year.
Yeah.
Not this year. Yep. There was awful, bad. Awful. I'm not sure exactly when it was this weekend. We haven't gotten to talk about this story because we were celebrating the Falcons' win so much yesterday. But this weekend I was scrolling on Facebook, and our buddy Rusty Mansell clued me in that something had happened in Arkansas with a post. Arkansas has relieved Sam Pittman of his duties after that blowout loss 56-13 to Notre Dame. Bobby Petrino is acting as interim, and now he has fired three defensive assistants just a day after getting that title.
This is his job. Like, this will be Bobby Petrino's job. There is not a doubt in my mind he will be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. How many years has it been since he got fired? 15?
Whole
neck brace thing?
About 15, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, so this is going to be – because you know why? First of all, you don't have press conferences with an interim coach and the AD sitting next to each other if that guy's not going to get the job. And you probably don't let him fire three defensive assistants if he's not going to end up getting the head coaching job. I think Arkansas fans probably look at it and go, he's paid his time, and if he can get us pointed in the right direction, we're going to love him. I just can't look at the guy without thinking about his neck brace. I just can't, man. I just cannot do it. The amount of times that neck brace picture was sent to my phone yesterday was insane. It was crazy. So, yeah, I mean, good for them, I guess. Like, if that works out for them. But, yeah, it's interesting.
First off, I always think about the Monday Night Football game in 2006. seven.
Seven, yeah.
When Arthur Blank goes on TV and says, yeah, I've talked to Bobby. He's committed to being our coach. And then, like, the next morning, he's singing Pig Suey or screaming Pig Suey.
Yeah.
Look, the other thing that took me back is that the AD sits up there and says Sam Pittman didn't have the resources to win, which he said in that about, you know, where they rank and those kinds of things, ranked towards the bottom. Also, I don't know if there's any truth, but there's like a letter that came out, or not a letter, but a story that came out that Petrino had a meeting with his players and was like, some of y'all are entitled and you're not going to be here anyway. So, you know, we're basically going to weed y'all out, and I have a chance to get this job and I want it, and I'm not going to allow you to your entitlement there to you make me lose it.
There you go.
Now, I don't know if that is, I did not confirm that. So I'm just kind of saying that there was a rumor that was said. So don't hold me to it. Although that would have been the most Bobby Petrino thing ever.
Yeah,
this guy is, I mean, like,
entitled's a good word.
You talk about, we talk about bad people in sports and just not nice people.
Mm-hmm.
He makes the top of everyone's list.
There's nothing that brings the city of Atlanta together like a good Bobby Petrino rant. It just kind of is what it is. And I'll never forget, you know, I won't say his name because I don't know that he wants me to tell the story, but somebody that was in the upstairs, the personnel department kind of person with the Falcons when that happened, said he got out to that red light right out in front of the facility that night, and somebody called him and goes, hey, you got to come back. Bobby left. And he was like, yeah, what do you mean Bobby left? Where'd he go? They were like, pretty sure to Arkansas. Like, you, not down the street to his house. Like, you're going to want to turn around and come back. We got a situation on our hands. And Bobby just disappears in the night and, you know, makes the plane flight up there to Fayetteville and makes it all happen. It's just crazy. I wasn't here for that. I wasn't a player when that happened. But to listen to the stories of the players from that year, just an absolute nightmare. Nobody even tries to hide their feelings on Bobby Petrino in that locker room and in that facility. It's crazy.
I started my professional career like a year later after all that happened. Real quick, talk about people. I'm not going to name names, but if you know, you know. The Falcons land, and they're sitting on the tarmac. And you know, when you land, you don't have the air traffic control tower controls everything, right? Tell planes when they can move around, when, you know, all that stuff. Literally cussed out the travel logistics person because the plane didn't get to the tarmac quick enough to get to where they needed to go on the tarmac,
right?
And just like start, like, just the most miserable human being to be around.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Just a reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I mentioned I went to a concert last night. Very random. Did not know I was going to go till a last minute situation. Was hit up for a couple of tickets to see Lil Wayne at State Farm Arena.
Amazing.
Immediately hit my wife up and was like, do you think we could get a babysitter? And she was like, for what? And I told her, she was like, absolutely. So we both wanted to go to this concert. Interesting concert.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the woman that he brings on tour with him that he does like a heavy metal track with named Lucifina.
I am not.
Okay. Lucifina was there. That was an interesting part of the concert that I wasn't like when Lil Wayne was singing his hits, it was awesome. But then there were like, he kept straying away from him. He'd get like four hits and then he'd be like, oh, here's one of my new things. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, oh. And then get like two or three more songs and he'd go, all right, here's my son. He's 14 years old. I'm going to let him rap for a little bit. And you'd be like, oh.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Go
and then
get
be
a
like
beer.
Three more hits and it's like, go DJ and all this stuff. And then it's like, hey, I'm going to bring out Lucifina. And then she just screams at everybody to the point where the people I was sitting around were like kind of laughing about it. They were like, man, this is intense. Like, I'm scared. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I Googled Lucifina. She's interesting. She's
terrifying, man. It was a terrifying moment in the concert. Other than that, it was really good. We really enjoyed ourselves last night. I want to bring you guys in on a conversation because I want you to help me decide something. My wife and I were sitting there, you know, just. It's a Monday, so it's not like we're just getting hammered or anything like that. We're just having a good time, good conversation, kind of a parents' night out on a random Monday. And she said, you know, I can't decide if I want to film him walking out on stage or if I just want to sit here and watch it. And we kind of have always gone back and forth about this because it's one of those things where you know it's kind of a cool moment and maybe a bucket list kind of concert for some people to see Lil Wayne in action. And so I'm like, I understand why you want to film it. But she's like, I also just kind of want to be in the moment. And I was like, yeah, that's one conversation. Then I hit her with, you know, but I've never looked at something I filmed and thought, man, I wish I wouldn't have filmed this. And she was like, that's a good point. But how many times do you go back and watch the video when you film those things? So I don't know. Like, I think some people are just, I'm going to film songs at concerts. Mm-hmm. Some people around us had their phones out the entire time. I don't know if they were FaceTiming or just, you know, videoing for the gram or what they were doing. My wife and I didn't have the phone out one time to videotape, which I thought was, for us last night, was cool. It's different moments. All that to say, I'm going to record songs at concerts type of people?
So what I say and what I do are two different things.
Okay. You're like, just be in the moment. Oh my God, where's my phone? Oh, well, it's my jam.
Be in the moment. That's what I would always say if it doesn't matter to you about having like a little social media presence. I do care about that. So I will look for different looks and I will film for 3 seconds or something so I can make a mashup at the end and then put a song over it, whatever, post it.
Yeah.
But I read a stat one time that really made me aware of this phenomenon. When you're filming something on your phone, your brain is only taking in 30% of it. Okay. You're only going to remember 30% of that memory versus if you're watching it with your own eyes, you're going to have that burned in your mind. So
is that just when, this doesn't include concerts, is that just when you're holding the camera or is that like if a tripod set up?
Well, if you have a tripod set up.
Not a tripod, but like if I put my phone up against something and I'm filming me and my kid doing something, am I remembering 30%?
You're remembering all of it at that point because it's not you. It's when you look through a lens.
When I'm looking through the camera. Okay,
it
gotcha.
It depletes the memory. So I think it's so much more important to have those memories.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't take pictures. I don't film like on my own. I don't ever remember any of that stuff. Like
what about with your kid? You take pictures of your kid, right?
I'm talking about, but you asked about concerts.
I know, but you said you don't film.
I mean, no, I don't. No, I'm when I'm at a concert or a race or a sporting event, like I try to, like for instance, I try to take a picture before every game starts, just to tweet it out, kind of like, hey, this is what the stadium looks like. We're here, and to make sure I have a picture of where I've been. I didn't do it Sunday. Totally forgot. Like I get immersed in situations and completely forget that the social media or the I got to have a picture of this. That everyone else does. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's I just get caught in the moment. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. But I just don't go places and think, I need to take a picture immediately.
Yeah. I think it draws a line. I think it's the social media aspect. Are you going to post it or are you not going to post it? Right? And so that's just – I'm not a poster when it comes to things like that. So I don't know. But we had a long conversation last night in depth before he came on stage. And it was – pretty deep.
She didn't film it?
She did not film it.
Okay.
We did. Neither one of us filmed it. We just sat there and stood and watched. I think she ended up filming like 15 seconds of another song because it was a friend of hers favorite. But in the end, it was like, we'll just sit here and kind of vibe out.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it.
That was definitely what happened last night.
A great decision. Speaking of concerts, we're about 20 minutes away from Machine Gun Kelly tickets going out yet again. You can decide whether you're going to film it or not. That's up to you. We'll do that in about 20 minutes. But up next, it is the wake-up call. 404-726-0929. I know my top 5 French fry list.
We'll have to rehash. Yeah, you liked it.
Zinger.
You liked it. So I put that out at 640. We'll talk about that next. 404-726-0929. What were your great, good, and meh moments from Sunday's game? That's next with the wake-up call on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.